Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
It's time for Money Plays. Brought to you in partnership with Sports Map Elite. Now get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
Special two edition of Money Plays today. Right now we bring on our old friend. You used to listen to him here every day on ESPN 97.5. Now you get him every day on Sports Map Radio. He is the godfather of Sports Map Elite, as well as noted published author. So, our buddy Fred Fowler, the Falcon. What's up, Fred?
Not much, man. Just sitting here. I got hockey on one TV. I got the Astros on the other, and I'm just enjoying life, my friend.
You know, it's not a bad way to spend a Friday, brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is, I love me some sport, and tonight's a great night for it.
Well, I know this is, one of the big weekends for you. You're a big horse racing guy, and Preakness, one of the three biggest races of the year. And I guess let's first strike. Were you surprised Rich Strike will not run in the Preakness?
Yeah, because honestly, I think whenever you win the Derby, that's the first thing you think about, right? Is let's try to win all three. And, you know, I think that they were just as surprised as the rest of us that the horse won, no matter what they say. I think they knew he has no chance in this race and decided not to run, which is unfortunate because I think the public cares when there's a horse that could win the Triple Crown. And, you know, the only people who really care about this right now are the hardcores like me and people who want to make money. And otherwise, it takes a lot of shine off of it. It's very disappointing, but, you know, that's life sometimes. And, you know, it was a fluke winner. There's no way he's repeating that race. So I kind of get what they're doing, kind of protect his reputation so they can sell him for a bunch of money for breeding.
Now, this is the shortest of the three races. Does that play into, like, we saw, you know, that horse really kind of, like, get crazy down the stretch, which just made up tremendous amounts of ground. Shorter race make that harder for a horse like that?
Well, you know what? It's kind of a misnomer because it is the shortest race, but it's only 110 yards shorter than the Derby, right? And there's this conception out there that closers don't win the Preakness, but they do win the Belmont, which is where he's going to run next at a mile and a half, which is the longest of the three. And the reality is, Belmont, you need to be close to the lead. The Preakness, you can come from off the pace and win. And so it's actually an easier race for a horse like him to have a chance to win than the Belmont is. He's going to have no shot in the Belmont.
Now, how different are the surfaces, you know, from Churchill Downs to Pimlico to Belmont? How different are the tracks that these horses run on?
Well, you know, it's funny because you see a lot of horses run well at Churchill and Pimlico because I think those surfaces are fairly similar. Belmont is a deep, heavy track, and it's very, very hard for a horse to win at a mile and a half there, and it often ruins horses, frankly. So the Belmont is the toughest of the three by far. It's a deeper track. It really takes a lot out of the horses. But you often see horses that run well in the Derby come back and run well in the Preakness because they're in great form, and the Preakness is very similar to Churchill in terms of track surface.
All right, so we've got the Preakness coming up. This field, who are the horses in this field that right now you're liking?
Well, I'm going to give you a few here because I think, you know, Epicenter should be the favorite. He's 6-5, should have won the Derby, was too close to a very hot pace and got beat by a horse that had a freak trip and freaked for the best day in his life. This horse is really consistent. He's won. He's been first or second 6 times in 7 starts. He was coming in to the Derby off a win at the Fairgrounds, which I think it was extremely impressive, but I think there might have been a little too much of a gap between the races. and I think he runs huge. But there are some horses that could run with him and maybe upset the apple cart here. So I got three long shots that I'm going to be playing in addition to Epicenter. And the first one is number one, Simplification, who finished fourth in the Derby. He was beaten 3.5 lengths. So he basically was 3 lengths behind Epicenter. But he ran 10 wide on the turn. So he basically ran almost a quarter mile further than Epicenter did and only got beat 3 lengths. So if he comes back with that effort, then I think you're gonna see him right there in the mix. The other two I like, one's called Creative Minister, who's only had 3 starts, but he's won his last 2 starts really impressively. His trainer's a guy named Kenny McPeak, and his horses, when they show up in Triple Crown races, they hit the board at a big price. He's 10-1 in the morning line. I think you're going to see a lot out of him. And the other horse that's really very interesting here is the filly, Secret Oath. She won the Kentucky Oaks by 2 lengths for Dwayne Lucas, the legendary trainer. The race before that, she ran in the Arkansas Derby against Boys. She only got beat 3.5 lengths, and she had the worst ride I think I've ever seen a human being put on a horse. She was about 8 lengths back on the turn, and the jockey took off way too early and took her like 10 wide, and she flattened out a little bit late. That's another one. She ran probably a quarter mile farther than the winner and only got beat 3 lengths, and I think she can run with the Boys. She's 9-2. So those are the 3 horses at a price that I'm looking at. Obviously you've got to use Epicenter. Early voting's really intriguing, but if you're looking for price horses, and I always am, Simplification, Creative Minister, and Secret Oath is the 3 to key around.
Talking with Fred Fowler, Sports Mapley, with us on the HRMP guest line. Now, Fred, during a horse fair, you'll hear about, this horse is on the fence. This horse is outside. Is there a big difference edge-wise to being inside versus being outside when the horses all line up?
Not really in a 9-horse field. Now, in the Derby, you do not want to be on the rail, right? Because you're talking about a 20-horse field. Everybody's trying to get over, and horses on the rail always get shuffled back. They've got almost no shot to win the race. And that's why when Mo Donegal runs into Belmont, he was on the rail in the Derby, I'll be all over him. But in this race, it really doesn't matter. I mean, if you're inside, outside, it's only 9 horses. It's going to be a very fair race. And there's also about 3 horses in here that have 0 chance of winning and really won't have an impact on the race. So in this case, it doesn't really matter. It'll matter a little more in the Belmont. It matters the most in the Derby.
Now, Fred, when you put horse racing bets together, I know you've tried to explain this to me, and I don't mean you were incapable of explaining it. I think more I was incapable of understanding it. When you start putting multiple horses in the same bet, you put a box or something. What are the different kinds of bets that you play when you're betting a race like this?
All right, so a race like this, I'm going to play trifectas, where you're trying to get the horses that are going to finish first, second, and third. And superfectas, where you're going for first, second, third, and fourth. And the reason for that is, Epicenter might win, and he'll be a favorite. But if I get the right long shot to come in with him, I'm going to get paid off pretty well. And a few years back when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, I made money on all 3 of those trifectas, even though he was the favorite the whole time, because we were able to get long shots. And a box is when you put, for instance, and one of the plays that I gave out on sportsmapelite.com, which you can go check out right now and get signed up before the price goes up, and you can get all my Preakness picks. But a box is where you put, in my case, I put 5 horses in there, right? So that's basically you're paying for 60 combinations. So the horses can run in any order of the 5, right? So if I have the 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8 horse, right? So it can run 8-5-1, it can run 5-8-1, any one of those combinations hits, and I hit the bet. That's a box. The other thing that I like to do is called a wheel, and I know it's not easy to explain, that's why I wrote a whole book on it, but with a wheel, I'm taking 1 or 2 horses in first and second, and then 3 or 4 with them, and then a whole bunch of them in third, and that allows me to get long shots in third and get really big scores.
There's so many different combinations and so many different ways to win. Fred knows them all. If you follow him and you go to sportsmapelite.com, you can see all the different combinations that he comes up with, and you can, you know, play the same bets that Fred plays and make the same money that Fred makes, or you cannot do that and not make money. I vote for making money. I'm still not entirely sure how all that works, but I'm basically just going to copy everything that you did, because whenever I do that, I make money. And who doesn't like making money?
Well, I mean, only communists and people who hate puppies. I think that's it. But, yeah, the plays that I have on there, I have three plays. I have one where Epicenter wins the race. I have one where I box the five horses, like I mentioned. And I have another one where the other horses I like, I just need one of them to win. And possibly we hit, you know, two of these tickets. And the good news is when you play at Belmont, it's a 50-cent minimum, right, for a trifecta. So, like, the 60 combinations only cost you $30. So that's that's an advantage. You can put some money, a little bit of money in to win a whole lot of money.
Doesn't sound like a bad way to spend a Saturday with some booze, with some food, and winning money on horses. I understand why you like this sport so much.
Well, it's difficult for people to understand that don't know it. And like I said, that's why I wrote the book on it, to try to give people, here's how it works, because there's so many bets, it confuses people. And there's really two parts to it. There's the handicapping the horses and, you know, kind of envisioning how the race is going to go. And then there's the betting part. And you can be completely right about how you think the race is going to go and still mess up the bets. So it's something that takes a lot of time to learn, and that's why I try to simplify it. And I think a lot of the people who are on the site who've been following me for years and know I hit these triple crown trifectas, they get that, you know, there's going to be, there may be a different bet that makes more sense. And they've probably all read Acing Racing, too, because I explain all that in there. But it is confusing if you've never done it. And, you know, that's why I love to tell people, you know, sit down with people and show them how it works.
Now, Fred, real quick, because this question has been asked for me to ask to you by our listeners. They want to know where do you put horse racing bets? Like, where do you put them online? Can you get them at, like, Houston horse tracks? Where can you make these bets?
Well, the cool thing is, and I know, you know, we have a lot of listeners over in the Golden Triangle. You can drive over to Delta Downs and make your bets there. And if you're in Louisiana, you can actually, you can legally bet horse racing over there online. And in Texas, you know, I use BUSR. And if you go to BUSR.com/Falcon, you'll get a nice bonus. But I use offshore accounts here, or you can just go to the racetrack and bet. So those are your places. The easiest thing for me is I bet online on the offshore accounts, and I use primarily use BUSR.com.
He's Fred Fowler, the Falcon, with us on the HRNP guest line. I know I don't have to tell you where to follow him on Twitter, because you should already know, but at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, if I did that properly. And, of course, you can get all the plays SportsMapElite.com. Fred, Chris Dell, who was just on a little while ago. Mike Lablin was on yesterday. Joe Spano, who was on Monday. Lots of terrific handicappers. Every sport at SportsMapElite.com. Fred, appreciate your time, brother. Always good to talk to you.
All right. Hey, let me give the people a hockey play for free, too.
Hockey, here we go.
Yeah, I just posted this about 20 minutes ago on SportsMapElite.com.
Does it involve the Rangers losing?
No, but if you in-game this, I would bet the Rangers. I think they're going to wind up winning this, but that's not my play.
No.
Edmonton plus 140. I mean, that 9-6 game the other night was just ridiculous. Their goalie was terrible. He gave up 3 goals and 10 shots. They'll tighten it up tonight. It's kind of a must-win for Edmonton, and I'm getting plus 140. So Edmonton plus 140 against Calgary tonight.
He's Falcon. Craig Fowler. Always love talking with you, brother. We'll catch up soon.
All right, brother.
All right, take care. Fred Fowler on the HRMP guest line here on Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, minute here for Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, treating hearing loss and vertigo. You know, Dr. Reyes is also one of only two audiologists in the greater Houston area specially certified in tinnitus management. So if you have a hearing issue or you think you have a hearing issue, schedule an appointment with Dr. Reyes. I was concerned that I might have a hearing issue, that I'd be in a situation where there'd be a lot of background noise and I couldn't hear someone who was 2 feet in front of me. Or if someone is facing the opposite direction of me, I struggle to hear them. And I went, talked to Dr. Reyes about getting a hearing test. Sat down, got in the box. Test takes about 15 minutes. It's painless, don't worry. And it turned out I don't have a hearing issue. I have a neurological issue. My body hears the information. My brain doesn't process it the right way. But I know what it is, and now I can get it treated properly. If you're concerned that you have a hearing issue, schedule your appointment. Get your hearing tested. Dr. Reyes can determine, do you have a hearing issue? Why do you have a hearing issue? And what the best treatment plan for that issue is. Technological advancements in audiology have been amazing. Today's hearing aids, well, they look like AirPods. They're small, they're sleek, they're stylish, they're Bluetooth. You can answer calls and stream music through them. Nobody realizes what they are because everybody wears an AirPod. It looks just like that. They're not those big, giant plastic things that go over your ear like your grandmother wore that look like they came out of like a bad 40s sci-fi movie. Also, Dr. Reyes and Dr. JJ, they work in tandem to address things like dizziness and balance issues. So call Dr. Reyes, 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313, or go online, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com/services/audiology, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com/services/audiology, and let Dr. Reyes give you back your best hearing. So there's a lot of changes in college football. Some Nick Saban pretends to not like. But there was a very interesting change for NCAA football that recently happened. And that is on Wednesday, the NCAA Division I Council relaxed the restrictions on college football's conference championship game. So now instead of having to have a conference championship game with like this division champion versus that division champion, leagues are now allowed to determine who plays in their championship game. So no longer do you have the issue of this division is really strong versus this division that's really weak, high Big Ten, where the winner of one division doesn't have a chance in hell of winning because in the other division, they'd be like the fourth best team. Well, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West are the first two conferences to scrap divisions. So no divisions at all. Just one conference. And then at the end of the season, the teams, the two best records, play each other for the conference championship. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. The two best teams, regardless of geography, the two best teams in the conference play for the championship. I know in the SEC, a lot of years, fortunately not this year, but a lot of years, usually it's Alabama versus Sacrificial Lamb. In the Big Ten, it's always like Ohio State versus Sacrificial Lamb, usually Wisconsin. I don't want any more Sacrificial Lamb. Let's get the two best teams together. I want to see all the conferences do this, especially the SEC. Because if Alabama and Texas A&M are the two best teams in the conference, dang it, I want them playing in the conference title game. I don't give a dang about Florida if they're 8-4. Can I get this everywhere? I don't know why it's taken so long for the other conferences to do this. Right? I mean, ACC, is it just going to be, you know, Clemson versus, like, North Carolina? I don't know, maybe. In the Big Ten, can we now get, well, maybe it'll be Ohio State and Michigan. We'll have to see Wisconsin. We'll get the snot knocked out of them. Again. Remember, that's how Ohio State got into the first CFP. The Big 12 basically broke their own rules. And, you know, for a conference where they didn't have the divisions, they look, whoever has the best record, they're the champ. And the tiebreaker was head-to-head. So Baylor and TCU had the same record. Baylor won head-to-head. And they went, we're going to do co-champs. And the NCAA said, good, neither's making the field. We're going to take Ohio State, who beat Wisconsin by 60. And boy, if Wisconsin didn't deliberately lay down and die in that game, you will never convince me Wisconsin did not absolutely throw that game to try to get the Big Ten into the CFP. That team didn't play that badly the entire year, and all of a sudden, they looked like they'd never seen a football before. That was the most embarrassing performance I've ever seen a Big Ten team play. But now we don't have to deal with that. Now we can get Ohio State playing Michigan. Maybe they play Penn State. Maybe they play Sparty. I don't care who it is. Let's just get the best two teams in there. It's not often the West Coast gets it right first. Pac-12, you know what? If it winds up being USC and UCLA, let them play each other. Who cares? Just give me the best game so we get the best team. I love that. I need more of that. Coming up next, we'll get to some of the best and worst of the NFL this season. Late hits.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
I always get a kick out of the NFL schedule release because people always go insane. The schedule's being released. Oh, my gosh, the schedule's being released. And now let's do wins and losses for our team versus everybody else, like, you know, 4 months before this roster. I don't fall into that. What I do fall into is, where are the games I'm interested in and where are the games I have no interest in? Week one is going to be interesting because the Thursday night game, usually that first Thursday night game is always a winner. Bills-Rams, that's a winner. if you don't want to get up early on Sunday and, you know, get the grill going and prepare for the noon games, don't worry. You will miss nothing. There is not one single noon start game that you look at and say, I have to watch this game. Now, there's Colts-Texans, which if you're a Texans fan, you're going to watch. But that's because you're a fan, not because, like, this is must-see TV. The 12 o'clock window does not have one compelling game whatsoever. The 3 o'clock window has a lot of compelling games. Green Bay, Minnesota, KC, Arizona, Raiders, Chargers, and then Sunday night, Tampa and the Cowboys. Whether you like the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys, Sunday night, you're watching Tom Brady against the Cowboys. Monday night's game, Denver and Seattle, is more of a grudge match. I think Seattle's going to stink. Unless you want to watch Denver thump Seattle, that game doesn't really hold a whole lot of juice. All the games that are, I have to watch this, Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, the rest of the schedule, eh. Now, week two, Bolts and Chiefs in KC Thursday night. Give it to me. 12 o'clock window. Oof. Another week of 12 o'clock games that you basically don't give a flying rat's tail about. 3 o'clock games. Bengals and the Cowboys. That's a pretty good game. Cardinals and the Raiders, that's a pretty good game. Of course, the Texans play in Denver, but we're trying to find good games. And I'm not including the Texans in things because bias. Sunday night, Chicago and Green Bay, that game does nothing for me. Chicago's going to stink. We have no idea what their offense is going to be, but for the most part, we know it's not going to be good. And this is the Monday night where you get two Monday night games. Titans and the Bills. Vikings and the Eagles. Titans-Bills will be... might be okay. Depends on which Titans team shows up. Do we even know what the Titans are going to be? Everybody's very high on Philly right now because of all the moves they recently made. Show me. Not a lot of great stuff week two. Week three, Thursday night, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. DGAF. Noon games. What do we got noon? Raiders and Titans. That's a B game. That's a B level game. That's it for the 12 o'clock window. 3 o'clock, you got the Rams and the Cardinals. That's a winner. Green Bay and Tampa Bay. That's a winner. Sunday night, San Fran and Denver. Eh. Monday night, Dallas and the Giants. Dallas is probably going to kick their ass. Sorry. Giants aren't that good. Week four, Thursday night, Miami and Cincy. I like watching Cincinnati, but Miami, don't care. We got our first London game, the Vikings and the Saints. Do we think the Saints are going to be any good with Jameis Winston? Maybe. I think the jury's out on New Orleans, but it's not must-see TV to me. The noon games. We're at week four. And we finally get our first noon game worth a damn, Bills-Ravens. 3 o'clock games, Patriots and Packers. Is that a winner for you, Noah, or is that a B game? Pats and the Packers.
I'll take that. Yeah? I like the noon matchup in week three, Kansas City and Indianapolis.
I'm not feeling Indianapolis right now. If you're a 8-9 win team, in a 17-week season. I don't know. I don't know how much Matty Ice has left. Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Sunday night. That's a winner. So far, we haven't had a lot of big-time games. All right, week five, Indianapolis and Denver, Thursday night. I won't be upset if I miss that game. Giants and Green Bay are the early game in London, 8:30. I don't want to watch the Giants. I'm a Giants fan. I don't want to watch the Giants. Noon games. Chargers, Browns. Is Deshaun going to play? Is Deshaun not going to play? If there's no Deshaun, the game's definitely not worth watching. We're right back to 12 o'clock games with no big-time matchups. 3 o'clock, you got the Cowboys and the Rams. That's a good one. Eagles and Cardinals, maybe. Bengals and Baltimore, Sunday night. That should be a good game. Monday night, Raiders and Chiefs. How do we feel about Raiders and Chiefs? How you feel? Where do you stand on the Raiders right now, Noah?
That whole division, if anyone's playing in that division, I'll watch.
I feel like the Raiders are the four. But, yeah, it's at least a B game.
It's mostly when the Chargers play the Chiefs and you're watching Mahomes and Herbert.
It's at least a B game if the Raiders are involved. All right, week six, Washington and Chicago on Thursday night. Not a damn chance.
That's an A-plus game right there, PC.
For the USFL. Noon games. Patriots and the Browns? Bengals and New Orleans? A lot of one-sided games in these noon games again. 3 o'clock. One game, Buffalo-KC. Sunday night is Dallas and Philly. Monday night is Denver and the Chargers. So that game might be pretty good. But Bills-Chiefs, 3 o'clock, that's your winner.
When was the last time Kansas City went to Buffalo?
Don't know. Off the top of my head, don't know.
I feel like every time they play, it's in Kansas City.
Week 7, Saints go to Arizona on Thursday night. Again, not knowing how the Saints are going to look like, I'm not excited about that game. Noon games. Colts-Titans? Browns-Ravens? Maybe. 3 o'clock games. KC-San Fran? Who's quarterback in San Fran this year? Because if it's Trey Lance, 5 wins. Sunday night is Pittsburgh and Miami. Who's quarterback in Pittsburgh?
Trubisky or Pickett.
Monday night is the Bears and the Pats. This week sucks. This is a brutal week. There better be some teams that surprise us, like they're better than we think, because that's a terrible week. Is awful. Week 8, Thursday night, Ravens and Bucks. That's a winner. The London game is Denver and Jacksonville. I'm sleeping in. Noon games. Cardinals-Vikings. That's at least a B game. Raiders-Saints. B game. At least there's a couple of games in the 12 o'clock window. They say, all right, you know what? This game might be worth watching. 3 o'clock, Niners-Rams. That's the best game at 3 o'clock. Sunday night, Packers Bills. That's a good game. Monday night, Bengals Browns, maybe a good game. I mean, if it's Jacoby Brissett, quarterback in the Browns, I like the Browns to win 5 games. Give me your draft picks. Week 9, Philly and Houston, Thursday night. You're watching it because you're a Texans fan. 12 o'clock window on Sunday. Oof. Oof. Let me give you an example of what I mean by oof. Chargers, Falcons. Falcons suck. Dolphins, Bears. Bears suck. Panthers, Bengals. Panthers suck. Packers, Lions. Lions suck. Colts, Patriots. I don't think either of those teams are all that good. Bills, Jets. Jets suck. Vikings, Washington. I don't think Washington's all that good. Raiders, Jaguars. Jags suck. That's the 12 o'clock window. 3 o'clock, you got, here you go, Rams and Bucks, 325. There is a saving grace on Sunday. Sunday night is Tennessee and Kansas City. Eh. Not big on Tennessee. Monday night, Ravens Saints. B game. Like, we're through the first half of the season, and there's not a lot of games where you're like, oh, dude, circle that one. We'll do week 10, and that's where we'll stop for today. But Thursday night, Atlanta and Carolina. They both suck. I'm not watching that game. I don't care. Like, I don't care about that game so much, I probably won't even bet on it.
It's one of those games where they both suck so bad, it might actually be competitive.
Maybe, but it's going to be sloppy-ass football. Now, Seattle and Tampa is the Munich game at 8:30. People will watch for Tampa, but Seattle's going to get mudhole stomped. Who's Seattle's quarterback? Geno Smith? Drew Locke? Who the hell's the quarterback in Seattle? Can they get, like, Jim Zorn to come out of retirement? Now, 12 o'clock, we actually have a decent 12 o'clock game, Vikings-Bills. And if you're a Houston fan, they're going to the swamps of Jersey to play Jersey A, also known as the Giants. That's a very winnable game. 3 o'clock, Colts Raiders, B. Cowboys Packers, that's an A. Cardinals Rams, that's an A. Chargers and the Niners Sunday night. Washington and Philly Monday, ZFG. Yeah, we're not fun. There's like 1 to 3 games each week that are worth a damn. A lot of these other games have zero interest. All right, wrapping up the show next. Who's the hoe? Next.
ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so they're in the bottom of the sixth at Minute Maid. Javier's gone 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. But he's losing 1-0 because the Astros have 1 flipping hit. 1 hit. I know we were talking before about Trevor Story and Jeremy dumping on Trevor Story because what is he hitting, like 240? Bregman's hitting 220. He's over 2 tonight. I know Breg's always starts slow, but if you know he always starts slow, how about don't hit him third? Although, Tucker and Gurriel aren't exactly hitting a high average either. Guess who has the Astros hit? 2022 Rookie of the Year, Jeremy Peña. He's got their one hit. All right. We're going to play a game here. No, I need your help with this. We're going to play a game here. It's called Who's the Hull? Now, you might recall the last playoff round, Lil Wayne called Luka Doncic a hoe on Twitter. So Mark Cuban mocked him with a picture of him in the front row as the Mavs mollywopped the Suns and pushed them out of the playoffs. And Lil Wayne had this feeling like somebody stole his puppy. Well, apparently Lil Wayne did not like that Mark Cuban trolled him, went back on the tweeter. Mark Cuban, don't make me get you smacked, boy. You playing with me. I will go number one in your bleeping mouth, ho. Who's the ho? Is it Luca? Is it Cuban? Is it Wheezy? Who's the hoe?
This just sounds petty.
No, it's super petty.
I don't know. Cuban? I mean, he's never been one to, like, not speak his mind, but, I mean, like, you're owner of a team. Just sit there.
Hey, I think Lil Wayne's the hoe. Why are you calling Luca a hoe to begin with? Just out of nowhere, Luka's a hoe.
Lil Wayne's fan base are like his team allegiance is all over the place. Like he likes the Red Sox, he likes the Packers, he's all over the place. He likes the Saints.
So he's a team hoe. He just jumps from team to team. It's a hoe.
I'm a t-shirt fan.
Should get a tattoo of hoe right across his face. There's got to be some room there somewhere, right? Okay, who's the hoe? Jay Cutler allegedly got caught hooking up with the wife of one of his good friends on a family vacation. Apparently, her husband knows about the affair and that it's been going on for a long time. So, is it Jay Cutler? Is it the woman? Or is it the woman's husband? Who is the hoe?
It's definitely the woman. I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a hoe.
Well, I'm wondering, like, if you're the woman's husband and you know she's been hooking up with Jay Cutler for a long time and you haven't punted her ass to the curb, I guess that makes you the biatch, not the hoe, right?
Maybe that's her hall pass. Maybe it's maybe Jay Cutler's her hall pass.
It's a low bar. I feel like that's got to be a low bar. But same time, I mean, this is your friend's wife. Like, this is how you treat your friend. You shack up with his wife. I feel like Jay Cutler's a hoe. He's a bad person, too. And a lousy friend. Now, let me ask you, if you were not working here, would you want this job? Rebecca Dixon is 22 years old, and her job is for a, quote, ethical sex site called Bed Bible. She gets paid $20 an hour, full time, to watch porn. And in her job, this is what she actually has to do. She has to take notes from, quote, kinky clips so that Bed Bible can put together a report on tendencies and statistics in porn. Her first job was to go to Pornhub and watch the 100 most viewed videos. Note how long the clips were, what positions were used, hair color of the participants, language they used, number of times they got to completion, because I didn't know how many of those words I'm allowed to say on the radio. What type of fetishes or role playing are used? She said that a lot of the videos have a stepmom or stepsister in the title. She is from a small town in Scotland and never dreamed of having such an exciting job. She's 22. She said she spent years working 9 to 5. Girl, you're 22. You haven't spent years doing anything. Would you want to watch porn for $20 an hour all day long for the specific purposes of, like, noting hair color and how many times the word daddy was said and how long the clips were?
I'm not going to lie. This sounds difficult. Forget everything else. This sounds like a lot of stuff to keep track of.
It does seem like there's a lot of things you have to keep track of. It's not exactly the way you would normally watch adult television.
Like analyzing and critiquing.
Certainly not like the old days when I was a kid and you had the big brown Gerald cable box. And you'd have to toggle the switch like halfway between 2 and 3 and press 2 buttons at the same time to try to get the Playboy channel. And it would be like in like just 2 colors and the screen is off. But you could kind of make out some boob, you know, like, I don't know, watching porn for the purposes of data entry for 8 hours a day. It doesn't seem like as much fun as it should be. That's going to wrap it up for us. For today. It's going to wrap it up for me for a week. I'm on vacation next week. It's, you know, the 1 week I have. I don't have Charlie Polillo's, you know, 12 weeks of vacation. Nor do I have Jake Asman's 10 weeks of vacation. But I have all week of vacation as my son graduates high school next week. And my whole family is coming in from New York. So the following week, I'll be back if I haven't killed all of them and or myself in the process. Appreciate Fred Frauer and Chris Dell joining us tonight. Noah Fouts on the other side of the glass. Booker T, Brad Gilmore, Hall of Fame coming up next. Have a great weekend. H-Town!
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.